it's Christine. I'm very, very pleased to introduce you to Ian Coates, who is probably very, very well known. How will people know you who are listening to this tape?
When I was a little lad, I lived at Olroyd, and I went to Castle Hill School, and then to seniors, I went to Roomfield, and then I was the first lot of kids to go from Roomfield up to Scaycliffe. My father, as Leonard Coates, used to work on gas board and was a bus driver, and I was a fireman. My mother, as Hilda Coates, and she used to work at Cinderill Spinning Company.
And when you were 22?
When I was 22, I think I got married at 22. That rings a bell.
You don't forget that.
No. Oh, yeah, I think I got married at 22 to Judith Libby from Atmestall. And then I went to live up at J. Green for a few years, and about 2 or 3 years. No.
And didn't you, what did you start?
2 years. And then I went to live up Blackshaw Head at a farm. And then in the meantime, I started Whiteley Archer's Garage. Me and Dick Baldwin, who lives up Blackshaw, we set up together, me and Dick, at Whiteley Archer's. Okay. And then after a few years, Dick stopped with garage and concentrated more on farming, and then I took over, and it was just called Ian Coates Whiteley Archer's Garage Limited.
And Dick, of course, is still farming.
Dick's still farming. Yeah,
yeah. He was the first person I saw to have a overcoats on his sheep, on his little lambs.
Oh, has he got them on now?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't know. Oh, it must be getting cold because I've been away for 15 years. So.
Oh, very fat. Not right. You've been away for 15 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, this is why I'm talking to you.
Oh, is it right, love?
Yeah. Because I want to find out, instalment by instalment, just where you've been and what you've been doing.
Right. Well.
So, first of all, how did it start?
Well,
what do you do, and how did it start?
Right. Well, I was working away down at garage, and a lad who used to work for me called Alan Bailey. He used to live up Blackshaw Head. His wife was Dorothy Evans, who had a farm up Blackshaw Head. And Alan and Dorothy went to live down Cornwall. And Alan rang up and he said that he should be going to Johannesburg as mechanic on a Land Rover and trailer that's on an overland trip from Johannesburg to England. And he said he'd do it to the man. And at the last minute, his wife put her foot down and said he can't go. So he rang me up and he said, it just sounds like the job for you, Ian. And I said, yes, it is. So he gave me the telephone number of the man and I rang him up and I went to see him. And he said, well, you'll pay for your own flight out, but once you get there, everything's paid for. You just have to be the mechanic and standby driver, if we need you, on the way back from Johannesburg with a Land Rover 101 pulling a Sankey trailer. And inside the Land Rover, there'd be the passengers, and in the trailer, all the camping gear.
But this 101, you said it was as rare as...
Yeah, it's rare as...
Hen's eggs, hen's teeth or something.
Or rocking horse dung.
Oh, right, okay.
Or hen's teeth, yeah.
Let's have the rocking horse.
They didn't make many, and they only made them for the British Army, did Land Rover, and not for long. So it's one of them. So that's I flew out and to Johannesburg, got it ready, and set off back to England. That were in 99. After the first 10 days or so, the owner and his friend had an argument. Now, the friend was there just to sort out the visas and to sort out the campsites and the food. The owner, who was the only driver, he was there just as a guide and tell you everything about the animals and things that was seen on the way up. So after 10 days, the owner and his friend had an argument, so that his friend left. So that just left the owner, me and the passengers. After another 2 weeks, the owner fell out with the passengers and said he's flying back home and give me US dollars and says, you fetch it back. At this point, he'd never seen me drive it at all. And of course, the passengers hadn't. And it was broken down at the time. So I said, well, which way do I go? So he got a bit of paper and drew a map of Africa and said, well, go that way. I said, all right then, that'll do for me.
Wait, a bit of paper?
Yeah, just wrote, he said, look, go that way, go this way. Because I think I'm in Malawi, where it were. So,
but did you know Africa?
I had a clue, no. But he's right, I knew where Ebden were and Blackshaw Edge, so, and England were. And I've got a tongue in my gob, so I can ask him.
Could you navigate with the sun or anything?
Oh,
like
yeah,
that?
I use sun and asking people. You know, I had to talk right when they were talking to him. I had to talk like Queen. So we set off, and they were right pleased with the passengers with me, because I hadn't a clue where they were going. And it was like a mystery trip for them. So we got into Zambia. We come out of Zambia, and then Zimbabwe. And then we're into Tanzania, and then I went to Kenya. And when we got to Kenya, I couldn't get a visa for Ethiopia or Sudan, because they're both at war, but not with each other, they'd found somebody else to fight with. So I rang this bloke up who owned the Land Rover in England. I said, what shall I do? I can't get visas for these people. Now then, I come from Blackshire, known out, and I'm having to do all visas, the cooking, and everything. Now, they learnt after the first meal that I were no good at cooking. So a retired school teacher and another girl who were on board, they took that on them. But I did try to do the visas, but I couldn't get a visa for Ethiopia or Sudan. So as I say, I rang this man up and he said, well, you just have to turn round and go back. And the people will have to fly home. So I told the people and they said, oh, okay then, because they knew we couldn't get visas. I said, but you tell me where you want to go to on way back. I'll go anywhere there is. So we zigzagged from Kenya, from one side of Africa to other, until we got back down to Johannesburg. And then they went and flew back home. Now, this is a coincidence. The Land Rover, when I got to pick it up in Johannesburg, was at a lad I knew, and he came from Colding. He was called Adia. No, he wasn't called Adia. Alan Brandon. Alan Brandon and his wife were there. Now, she lived with her mother and a sister. She come from Blackshire. And it's just a coincidence they were there. Anyway, when I got took this Land Rover back, I had to leave it at their house. So I were all right with Alan and his wife, Lucy. They were right suited. So then I thought, bugger it. I'm not going to fly back home. I'll ring my wife up and ask her to make a box and get our Jason to put my motorbike in, my Africa Twin, and all my motorbike tattle and my camping stuff, and send it out to me to Johannesburg, and I'll ride past these buggers. So she did, though. So I rode all the way round Cape. Well, I set off at Johannesburg, and I didn't go straight home. I went south to Cape Town and to the most southernest point in Africa. And then I went across South Africa to Swaziland, round Swaziland, into Mozambique, did a bit there, then come back in to South Africa, then into Malawi, then across to Namibia, and then up and across into Zambia, and then back down again into Kenya. And then I did, before that, I must have done, I'm doing this off the top of my head, Malawi, Zambia, Tanzania and Zanzibar, then back into Kenya, and then to Uganda and Rwanda. Come out of Rwanda, back into Uganda, tried to sneak into Sudan at bottom, but they won't let me in there. So come back out again, went to Kenya, but then I did manage to get a visa for Ethiopia. Went to Ethiopia and managed to get a visa after about a month for Sudan. But what I didn't know is I didn't get a travel permit. I only got a visa and I didn't get a travel permit, and I needed one for a motorbike. But it's a long story, I'll tell you that later. But I managed to sneak into Sudan and nearly die in desert, going from Khartoum to Wadi Alpha. I were lost in desert for 2 weeks in a sandstorm. And then from Wadi Alpha, I got on the ferry on Lake Nasser up to Aswan. And then from Aswan, I rode up to top to Alexandra, then the Mediterranean's here. Then I went across to Gaddafi's place, Libya, but he won't let me in. So then I come back again, and then I got robbed in Egypt, to Alexandra, but just had enough traveller's checks. I rung wife up, and she said, well, you can get no sense out of Egypt at all. It's like talking to a damn stone wall. So she says, can you get to Cyprus? I says, I'll try to. So anyway, I had enough money to buy a ticket on a ferry to Cyprus. So I got to Cyprus, and when I got there, I went to a bank, and everything were all right. Got some traveller's checks there. I stopped at the house of Marcia and Brian Shepherd, and Marcia, I forgot her name. Anyway, Brian Shepherd used to have Shepherd's Garage in Ebden, and Marcia, she used to live up Slack Top. I'm forgetting the name. And if you ring me up, I'll tell you. Anyway, they had a house in Cyprus, but they weren't there. They were back home in Ebden. But I stopped in Cyprus at their house for a few days, about a week or a fortnight, riding around Cyprus. And then from there, I got a ferry to Rhodes, because I was looking at the map, and it said an island called Rhodes. And I thought, well, that's a strange name for an island. I'll have a ride around Rhodes on the road. So I went there, then from there I went to Greece mainland, and then came through Greece and in Italy, France, and back home. And that just took me a year to get home.
One full year?
Yeah.
And the fact that you can remember all the different places that you went to. And how did you sleep?
On my back.
Yeah, but in a tent.
Yeah,
a tent. You had a tent with you.
Yeah, I learned a lot in Africa, in wilderness. Yeah. I met a wildlife hunter, and then he turned into a warden, and he said, I've seen more wild animals than most people, and as much as he has, because I live in a tent, no music, I don't smoke, I don't put anti-mosquito repellent on, don't put no aftershave on, and just keep fairly dirty, and my smell doesn't go. And it's me, so I'm not talking. And I've seen most of animals.
So this first year, you didn't get your Land Rover 101 back to England or wherever it was, but you got the bug for riding. Now, before, we're going to end it on this stretch now, but we're going to tell you some more of the things that Ian has been doing, but we're doing them in episodes, if that's all right. For this particular part, bye-bye from Ian and from Christine. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.